Let's open up to Deuteronomy chapter 32. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're going to talk about comfort today. Deuteronomy chapter 32, so just bear in mind the title of the talk is comfort, and just two great testimonies there about how the Lord is with us, and he's there if we call upon him, if we have the good attitude, and that's the thing, like what Marlies was saying, she didn't give up, you know, she was kept harping and asking the Lord, and then the Lord gave her the Spirit. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, we'll start in verse 46, just a couple of verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 46. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law, or all of God's commandments. And it says in verse 47, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. So the Lord here is encouraging his chosen people. Yep, okay, in the Old Testament times, his chosen people, they were called Israel. But we today, we are God's chosen people. As Marlies said, we have the signature on the contract. We have the Holy Spirit, and we are God's chosen people. And so it's still the same God that was in the Old Testament times as now. And so we are these his children, and he wants us to follow the words or his commandments. And then it goes in 47, for it is not a vain thing for you. Okay, and that's something we need to remember. It's not a vain thing for us to follow God's ways. It's solid. You know, God is there. He's there always. And it's not something like we're not beating at the air, as it says elsewhere. It's not a vain thing. God's encouraging his chosen people to keep following his ways, to keep following his commandments, to keep applying them in his life, because it's not a vain thing. Now, if it was vanity, there'll be no result, okay? So it's not a vain thing in that there is a result. By following his ways, he will answer our prayer. We heard testimony, and we keep hearing testimony at all our meetings. If we keep following his ways, he will answer prayer. It is not a vain thing. It is our life, okay? It's our life. Like we're saying that chorus, we've entered our rest because we know what it's all about. This is the meaning of life, of us being a part of the kingdom of God. We've received the Spirit. It is our whole life to follow his ways and apply them in our own lives. And he is the light to our path. He hasn't left us alone. He has shown us the path. And of course, ultimately, we'll be raised up to meet him in the air. It's not vanity. We have this amazing inheritance waiting for us. And we'll have, as it says, these long days. You know, we'll be forever dwelling in our spiritual land with God. And so he's encouraging his chosen people to keep observing his ways, following his ways, knowing them and applying them. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And start in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, or you could say, hear, O my chosen people, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might, or all your effort. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now this is figurative. You know, you bind them on your hand. What you do and what you practice, you do diligently. And you do those things in accordance with God's commandments. And there'll be frontlets between thine eyes. You'll follow. You know, you'll follow his ways. They'll be like this dangling carrot in front of a donkey. You'll be following it. You'll be following his ways. Be frontlets between thine eyes. And this whole thing of like putting reminders everywhere of what God's ways are. And that's what I love. Like in our house, we just keep throwing scriptures back at each other. It's fantastic, you know, making fun out of it. And it helps refine each other as well. We come together and we refine each other. And we're teaching and encouraging each other to continue following his ways, because it's not vanity. You know, there's great comfort that can be come from following his ways and following his commandments. Over to Isaiah chapter 48. And so you make it your whole life, okay? When you get up in the morning, you've got him on your mind. Isaiah chapter 48. And then before you go into bed, you've got him on your mind. It's so easy, and we all know it. Every day we get distracted. Every single day we get distracted from focusing on God, you know, because we are of this earth and we've got things to do. But the Lord's encouraging us to make it our life. Isaiah 48 and verse 16. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. You know, it starts out there saying, look, God didn't keep all these things a secret. He wasn't hiding in the corner somewhere, or right high up in a mountain, or down in a valley. He wasn't keeping his word a secret. He was blazoning it abroad. I mean, it's phenomenal that Bibles are so easy to get now. You know, they're given away. They're just everywhere. The Lord has gone to so much effort to get his word out there so that there's no excuse, you know, and he's our Redeemer, and he teaches these things to profit. He teaches wonderful things to profit us, you know, to give us this comfort. It's our life, you know, that we can call upon him. It's profitable for us. It's not vanity to follow his commandments. And he leads us the way. And then, like this lamentation that appears a few times, particularly in the Old Testament, but Jesus mentioned it himself a couple of times. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. You know, come on, you guys, just follow my commandments. If only you followed my commandments. You know, they are not vanity, they are life. If only you'd done that, then as a result of that, you'll have peace as a river. You'd have this amazing peace, you know, internal peace that passes all understanding. And what an amazing comfort that is. Regardless of the mess that's going on around you, you've got that comfort within. If only you'd followed my commandments, you will then have peace. And we all like peace. Peacefulness is good. It's a good thing. You know, God wants to give us that peace and that righteousness of the waves of the sea. It's constantly rolling in. The waves of the sea, that you can't hold them back. It just keeps coming. The righteousness pouring in, wave after wave after wave. You know, and you've got that amazing understanding of that God is our rock and we can build our life on it. It's just phenomenal. If only you'd follow my commandments. You know, it's not vanity. Psalm chapter 17. Psalm 17. Psalm chapter 17. And another wonderful thing, you know, as well, like, you know, house is just after the meeting, particularly with the Zoom meetings, you know, we were having a little recount of the meeting. We're throwing things back at each other, and it's just great. Like, you just get more encouraged in the things of the Lord, and you grow stronger, and you realize that this peace, like a river, you know, and you got that comfort, that it's real, you know, it's a true thing. Psalm chapter 17, verse 1. Well, that's Proverbs. That's not going to help me, is it? Psalm chapter 17. Psalm 17, verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal or fair. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvellous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. You know, here's David, of course, is praying, as it says there in the title, a prayer of David. And to put this into perspective, you know, you read back in the books of Samuel and Kings, and even before that, Judges. Like, David was living in a world of evil. You know, you look at all these things that people did in those books of the Bible. It's horrible stuff. So David's in amongst all this, you know, and he can look up above all that evil that's surrounding him and look to God and realize that that God hears his cry, you know, that that God hearkens unto his chosen people. And he's just praying to the Lord, you know, hold up my goings, you know, let me continue to follow your ways, Lord, and let me not slip. You know, you've lit the path for me to follow. Let me not slip and fall over. You know, show your marvelous loving kindness in my life, that comfort that all human beings like to have. And then verse 8, just such a famous verse, keep me as the apple of the eye and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. It's very visual. You know, the apple of his eye, like his own dear children that he's so proud of. You know, there's the apple of my eye. I'm so proud of those people that I chose and filled with the Spirit because they persist in following my ways. And I'll grant them this peace like a river, this comfort. The righteousness is the waves of the sea. And then I do really like, one of the jobs when I was growing up was to look after the chooks. And I so often see the mother hen, you know, extend their wings when the chicks just came and raced underneath. You know, there might be half a dozen of them. They'd all snuggle up underneath because it's nice and warm. You know, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. You know, when I run up to the Lord and pray to the Lord, I need your help. Run up and get that comfort that can only come from God. It's very visual and very real, you know, that if we continue to follow his ways. And in fact, Matthew chapter 23, Jesus himself, another lamentation, says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. God wants to do it. God wants to gather his children as a hen gathers her chickens, to be close to him, close. Over to Psalm chapter 36. Read a few passages from the Psalms. Psalm chapter 36. And that's a wonderful feeling of comfort. I mean, you can just imagine little chicks, you know, running around and then they snuggle up to the mother hen. So nice and comfortable. And that's what God wants to do for us. Psalm 36 and verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. You know, there's a lot of depth to them, and fairness and equality. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. And so again, you know, just exalting the Lord as a great mercy and his loving kindness, and let it be abundantly poured out in our lives. And then there's this little thing, verse 11, let not the foot of pride come against me. And we all know over the years, pride comes in so many forms. So many forms pride does, and that gets in the way of our comfort in the Lord. You know, pride is looking at your own strength and relying on your own strength instead of God's strength. There is comfort that comes from God's strength, and there's disruption when you look at your own ways, and that's that pride. And so David understood that he wanted this pride to be pushed away. He was a man like you and me, and he was a human being, and he would have had moments of pride, especially being a king of Israel. You know, how many opportunities for pride there? He's got the David himself had the hand of life and death, you know, what he spoke. And so there's great opportunity there. But he knew that pride would just get in the way of the pouring out of blessings and loving kindness from God. It's that exalting of the flesh ahead of exalting of the things of the Spirit. Because God is a merciful God. It covers us. You know, and it repeats here about hiding under the shadow of thy wings, trusting in him, and there is comfort. Psalm 68. Psalm chapter 68. Psalm 68 and verse 3. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. And when I read that, it's saying, let us be confident. You know, we are God's chosen people. We have this cloak of righteousness. He looks at the Spirit within us. Let us be confident. We are those righteous that can be glad. We have every right to be glad and rejoice in him. Rejoice before God. Verse 4, sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah. And rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You know, there's just wonderful things. If only you'd follow your commandments, he'd be a father to the fatherless. You know, he'd be a judge to the widows. You know, these are people that in Old Testament times particularly, but it's also the same today, these are people in society that are weak. You know, they don't have that support. And God, and it says there, he sets the solitary in families. You know, those that feel alone, he sets in families. And what a great spiritual family we have here, if you continue to look toward the Spirit. Those that are bound by sin, really, he looses them. Okay, these are things God wants to provide comfort to those that have no comfort. Okay, a person that has no father doesn't have the comfort there. A widow who's in a land of corruptness, he wants to provide comfort. You know, those that are alone, he wants to provide comfort and put in families. He wants to do this. He is a God who understands us, if only if we follow his ways. And then contrary-wise, it says there, the rebellious. The rebellious, those are rebels who rebel against his ways and decide to follow their own, okay? Decide to follow their own ways, they dwell in a dry land. They're alone, you know, they're not amongst families. They are fatherless, you know, they're weak like a widow. And so the Lord wants to be like this, to comfort us under the shadow of his wings, that we be not in a dry land. And he is a wonderful God, and that's why we have testimony at all our meetings, to encourage everyone that God answers prayer, you know, that he is there for us. Last Psalm, chapter 40. And I believe it's the challenge now for us to look at his ways ahead of others' ways. It's so attractive, the ways of the world. But there is no comfort there. Psalm 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And this is an aspect that comes out so much in the scriptures. Be patient, just wait. And that is so hard to do. Just wait. Be patient for the Lord. And as a result of that, he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Like in Marlisa's testimony, she was patient and waited on the Lord, kept asking for the Spirit, and he inclined unto her. Verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So many are his wonderful works. You know, it says in two places in the New Testament that for all the things that Jesus did, the books in the world wouldn't be enough to contain them. There's many. They are innumerable. And there's so many things in our own lives, so many things in the Bunbury Assembly's lives. Imagine all around the world and throughout history, there's so many things that the Lord, wonderful things that the Lord's done in our lives. And it says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. You know, trust's what's written in here ahead of what we think or feels right or what someone else around us thinks or feels is right. And like I said, we are actually of this earth, and our body is framed from the dust. So the wisdom that is perpetuated around the world makes sense to us. It's clear to us. We have a carnal mind. And so you get all this wisdom that comes from other places and, oh yeah, it makes sense. It's logical. Yeah. But then, wait a minute, we're filled with the Spirit now. What's the Bible say? That's different. Oh, yes, okay. That's the struggle we have. It's the struggle is to this thing, this wisdom that comes from the world seems so right, you know, but it's different to what's in the Bible. And so that's the struggle we have, is to look at what's in the Bible in faith, right? We don't look at it with our carnal eyes. We look at it with our spiritual eyes. And then as a result, we know from experience through many testimony, there is comfort and there's truth and there's righteous judgment. If we follow the other way, it ends to discomfort and lies, as it says here. It says twice, in fact, it says the last verse in the book of Judges, they did that which was right in their own eyes. And it leads to all the mess that Judges is so famous for. And so we look at his ways, and like I said, it's a struggle to do that, to look at spiritual things instead of carnal things, and then we get the comfort. And that's the struggle as well. Patiently. You wait patiently for the Lord. Okay, I've got to follow God's ways, regardless of what's going on around me, because I know he'll bless eventually. John chapter 14. How could you talk about comfort and not go to John chapter 14? Well, you can't. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Okay? He'll be your rock, as we read before. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It's a wonderful promise that came true in our lives. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus plainly says here, this peace that comes from God is so different to the peace that comes from the world. You know, it's so very different. And it's just wonderful to look back at when we first received the Holy Spirit and how, you know, the light bulb went on in different ways for different people. This understanding and this comfort that came with it was so real then. And it's still real now. It's just, I believe it's because we carry this Holy Spirit around with us all the time. We kind of get complacent. But when you call upon him, you pray to him, you read the scriptures, you come to the meetings and you talk about these things, you know, it enlivens that comfort as well. It makes it real in our lives that he's there wanting to provide comfort and this peace that passes all understanding that comes from him. Acts chapter 2. So, of course, that comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So it's through the Spirit that we get the comfort. It's not through our flesh. It's not through the world. It's through the Spirit. The comforter is the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2. Start in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the gift of comfort. Verse 39, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort and comfort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Okay? And that's what Peter's calling these people and also us, reminding us to save ourselves, to turn away from this crooked and perverse generation and follow his ways that we may have that real comfort and that real peace. And that we may have proof in us that it's not vanity, that we are following something that's solid. Last scripture, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And again, covetousness can come in so many different ways. And be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. Okay, and this is a position of incredible comfort. It's the only word I can think of, or confidence, incredible confidence that we have before the Lord. You know, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. We have so much experience that he's always there. He's told us even here, even if we don't fully get it within us, we may doubt. Well, it says it here in the Bible. God himself will never leave us nor forsake us. And what amazing comfort we can get from that. If we feel uncomfortable, think, wait a minute, knock it in the brain that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And as a result of that, we can boldly, confidently go before God. We can proclaim before others who know not God, who have all their little worldly wisdom snippets, try to cut you down. We can boldly go before them and say, No, the Lord's my helper. The Lord is my helper. He's there. He'll comfort me. The path that I'm following may seem foolish to you, but it's actually wisdom. It's wisdom because it's not vain. And that's the thing. God's wisdom seems foolish to world's wisdom. So think about it. Like I said before, our body comes from this earth. We understand earthly things. And so even sometimes we can be caught up in thinking, wait a minute, God's wisdom, that seems a bit foolish to me. You know, the wisdom of this world makes more sense. It's more logical. But in all humility, we are contrite in heart as well, and we're elevated to heavenly places, and we understand that regardless of how we feel, that is true wisdom. It's true wisdom. It's light to our feet when we follow his ways. And it says there, verse 5, let your conversation or your actions be without covetousness, knowing that we've got all things. God's got all things in hand. Okay? We don't need to covet and run about trying to be better than someone else. God's got things in hand. And be content with such things as you have. And I know certainly from my own testimony, through my work situation, I just go about your own work, just working as unto the Lord, and He performs wonderful things. He gives an impression in your employer's eyes what you like. You know, you just leave it up to Him. All I did was what I was meant to. I just followed God's guidance, and He did everything else. And so there's great comfort in that we don't need to struggle. There's rest. You know, we've entered our rest. You know, remember that. You know, we're in a position that so many other people are not. You know, there's philosophers that get caught up in all sorts of claptrap trying to talk about what the meaning of life is. But we know it. It's simple. We know it. We've received the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. We follow God's ways, and God's ways are here in this book that is presented with a black cover. But it's what's in it that's important, you know, not how it looks. And so we're in a wonderful position, and there is great comfort that is available to us.